Well, it's good to see you all here for this first day of Lent, this Ash Wednesday. But what is it about ashes, after all? It's a rather strange thing that so many people come out for ashes, people who might not come to church throughout the rest of the year. Father Farrell and I were watching some news during our lunch break, and they had a little episode about Alfred Street Baptist Church down in Alexandria and how they were standing on the corner giving ashes as people drove by if they wanted to stop. And I thought, well, that's very Catholic of these Baptists giving out ashes. But what is it about ashes? After all, it's just simply burned palm branches. Well, what's important is what it all signifies and what it ought to motivate us to do. The ashes remind us we're dust. In Genesis, we read how God formed us out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into us, giving us our immortal soul. Yet we also know from Genesis how Adam and Eve, though made in God's image and likeness, sinned. And with sin came suffering and death. Yet God still loved, and God sent us a Redeemer, a Savior. We remember the beautiful words of our Lord in the Gospel of John. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. In the very mystery of the Incarnation, Jesus, true God who became true man, elevated our human dignity to something greater than Adam and Eve had. Jesus perfectly revealed himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He went to the cross to offer the sacrifice for our sins, a timeless sacrifice that touches our lives. He turned that suffering into a redemptive act of love, giving value even to our suffering as an act of love. He rose from the dead to give us the hope of everlasting life and then ascended to prepare that place for heaven. As brief as all that may be, this is what we have to hold on to, that without Christ, we are just dust. When we think of all the things, then, that can preoccupy our time in our lives and take up so much time, maybe distract us from the really important things of life, including God, all that is dust. Think about that. So much that we are so concerned about, it all gets left behind. And what's left? Our soul. Our soul. And so Lent's that time when we pause and we reorient, reprioritize, convert our hearts back to the love of God, the love that has been shown to us through our Savior. So these ashes only have significance if they're going to motivate us to really take seize of this time period of Lent and reprioritize, convert our heart. Therefore, we do what the gospel challenges us to do. We pray. I encourage you all, especially, that during Lent, take time for Stations of the Cross. We'll have them here Friday afternoon, Friday evening. I also encourage you that as you pray the Stations of the Cross, remember the Christians in the world that are being persecuted, especially in Syria, Iraq, Pakistan, those places. After all, they are walking that path of Calvary now. You and I can unite ourselves with them and unite our prayers with them and for them through Stations of the Cross. I would hope all of you make that a priority. Also to say the rosary each day for the same intention, for all those persecuted, and also for the conversion of those who do not believe. We shouldn't forget, we're called to share our faith, and we ought to be praying that those who do not believe in Jesus, who do not know his love, will come by God's grace to that belief. Secondly, the gospel challenges us to almsgiving. Well, here we ought to be mindful, especially of doing those good corporal and spiritual works of mercy each day. You'll notice, though, in the narthex we have our Lenten cross. So whatever spiritual or corporal act of almsgiving that you give from the little tags that are on that cross, That will benefit the House of Mercy in Manassas, as we've done for so many years. But as a family, I encourage you, think of things that you can do together as a family that are like almsgiving, whether spiritual or some kind of physical, tangible kind of almsgiving. It may be pooling the little resources, the allowance money, money that could be spent on movies, whatever, to give to the poor. Then finally, the gospel tells us about fasting, doing penances. Well, when we think about this, I know oftentimes during Lent, people give up something, give up chocolate, give up maybe wine, whatever. And that's good, but make sure that's a penance. Make sure that's the intention is to atone for sin. But I encourage you, think of a penance that's going to help bring about a conversion. For instance, if impatience is the problem, work on that. If procrastination is the problem, work on that. If it's spending too much time on things like the cell phone, the Facebook, whatever, to the neglect of maybe helping the spouse at home or the kids, mom and dad, make that the penance. Think of it. We need to do something that's going to build up our spiritual, virtuous life. So use that as a good means of growing in holiness. And then lastly, part of that penance has to include going to confession. Without making a good sacramental confession, and without really repenting of sin and receiving God's forgiveness, all of this is meaningless. Christ came to forgive sins. Every one of us has to take time during Lent to make a good confession and receive sacramental absolution. So, my brothers and sisters, we begin this journey we call Lent. If we really strive to make that a time of conversion, reprioritizing, rethinking life, and opening ourselves to God's graces that come through these different means, guaranteed, we will know the joy of Easter. We'll know the love that our Lord has shown for us through our Savior, who suffered, died, and rose for our salvation. May God bless you.